So we start with the 7 minute prayer.
So Gisela says that first we cite that Gandhilagima, that Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga. So one verse in English, and then we chant in Tibetan with the tune of Guru Puja. Last time we did seminar, so that we chant the whole practice of Gandhilagima. Tamu Injila dan lagi karena the English one. that I think you don't have the text, everyone has.
Do we have it in the Twin Prayer Book? Yeah. So it'll be English and Tibetan. Have to share.
English one, can you read?
Yeah.
English one, and then one verse,
yeah.
And then we do in Tibetan, and then English and Tibetan.
Together with English?
Or yeah, first English,
English
you,
and Tibetan.
Tibetan, and each verse is yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we start with a verse of invocation. From the heart of the protector, of the hundreds of deities of the land of Joy, comes a cloud that resembles a mass of fresh white curd. Omniscient Losangrapa, king of the Dharma, together with your sons, I
request
you
to
come here now. And the verse in Tibetan.
Pandela ye go ye do da ne
Your minds have the intellect to comprehend the full extent of what can be known. Your speech with excellent explanations become the ear ornaments of those with fortune. Your bodies are radiantly handsome with glory renowned. I prostrate to you, whom to behold, hear, or recall is
worthwhile.
Present to you, O Supreme Field of Merit.
sorry, I think this tune is not right.
I dedicate my virtues, my ever-connected, and the best of teachings, and all sentient beings,
and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lord Sāṅkhāpa, to shine forever.
Dāgyē jēnyē sāvē jēvā dīdēn dān rōvā kūlā kāpēn dān jēvā so that the Gandhilagyam practice of also is the invocations you invite, and then you undertake the practice of seven limb practices. Yeah. So that normally that last so the first limb here is the order is slightly different from normal one. So here is the first practice is requesting Lama Tsongkhapa and his two sons to have a stable life or not pass into parinirvana. So what's the verses Isla's asking you? What's the first verses of requesting to have a stable life? So here the sequence is different in Lama
Tsongkhapa. But this one is the first.
Yeah, this one is the first, so do you know the seven, what are the seven limb practices? Yes, and
offering.
Confession. Then
rejoicing.
Yes, we know.
Request.
After rejoicing.
Remain
requesting to turn the will of Dhamma.
Two requests.
Normally it's that general that first request is to not pass into parinirvana, and second request is to turn the will of Dhamma. And the last one?
Dedication.
So that is the general order, yeah? General order of seven limb practice. The fourth here, the first, the order is that requesting to have a stable life or not pass into parinirvana. So what is that? The verses requesting. He's asking you.
In English?
English, the rest, yeah. English, the Tibetan. In English?
I understand, yeah.
Okay, English.
See, the one that go all venerable gurus with my smiles of delight, seated on lion thrones, lotus and moon in the space before me, I request you to remain for hundreds of aeons in order to spread the teachings.
Nos.
Samba de Chöpa.
Chöpa.
Shiva
Shiva.
Shiva.
Hot. Compassion. Yeah, compassion.
So Gishla said the most important is when you undertake the practice of Ganden Lajama, so that it's quite a simple package, yeah. So first is invitation, so you involve, yeah, Lama Tsongkhapa and his two sons, and then you do the seven limb practice. So because like when you are reciting that like invocation, so that I think it's slight translation is slightly different. Yeah? You who emanate from the heart of savior of the 100 devas of joyful realms or Tushita, on the peak of cloud water holder, assembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd, the king of Dharma, omniscient Lobsantava, with your sons, I request you to come to this place. So what Gisela is saying that if you learn by heart, yeah, so then you don't have to look. So when you're reciting, so then you can do the visualizations. You know, so then you have to know that while you're reciting, you can visualize. So Gisela says, please try to like memorize, you know, try to learn by heart. So then after that, then other practice is the Mikzema request to Lama Tsongkhapa.
Tombo
So the Miktsema press or the request originally is composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, and Lama Tsongkhapa offered this press to Venerable Randhawa, one of his guru. So that initially that the original that verses that was composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, which reads Vajradhara, Lord of Sage, Avalokiteshvara, the great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Randhawa, the crown jewel of the sage of the land of snow, to the youthful to your feet, I make a request. So this is originally composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, and this he press offered to his guru Venerable Randhawa. And then later on, then Randhawa thought, oh, it's not, he do not deserve that press. So he think that he do not deserve that press. So instead that he think that Lama Tsongkhapa deserved that press, then Lama Randhawa, so then composed this press, then offered to Lama Tsongkhapa, saying, Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of sage of the land of snow, to Losan Thakpa, at your feet I make request. So then Venerable Randhawa offered this press to Lama Tsongkhapa. So the meaning here is that the Avalokiteshvara, so that with the Buddha of compassions, is like a great has a great it's like a great treasure of non-objectifying compassion. So which means that compassion that we're observing sentient beings who are lack of inherent existence. And so by understanding sentient beings are lack of inherent, that type of compassion that observe wishing that free. So that is non-objectifying compassion. So so that the first line, which is like Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, so that Lama Tsongkhapa, that is like Genesis, the Buddha of compassion, because Lama Tsongkhapa is great treasure of non-objectifying compassion. So therefore, Lama Tsongkhapa, you are like Genesis, the Buddha of compassion. And the second, Manjushri, the master of stainless wisdom. So here, that stainless wisdom refers to wisdom realizing the ultimate nature, the ultimate nature of all phenomena, the reality of all phenomena. So that, and the second pressing, like Lama Tsongkhapa, that you are like Manjushri. You have this great stainless wisdom, wisdom realizing the reality of all phenomena. So generally that Manjushri is the embodiment of all the Buddha's wisdom, embodiment of wisdom. And also that in the history it says that Lama Tsongkhapa is in fact the manifestation of Manjushri. So the second line, which is Manjushri, master of sinless wisdom. And then the third, Tsongkhapa, the crown jewel of the sage of the land of snows, which means Tibet. So that he's the most scholar or the sage among all the Tibetan practitioners. So that he's the crown jewel of the sage of the land of snow. And to Losan Thakpa, so Losan Thakpa is that his ordination name. Lama Tsongkhapa's ordination name is Losan Thakpa. At your feet, I make request. So this is that Lama Randhawa, Venerable Randhawa, so that offer this prayers back to Lama Tsongkhapa. So the first one, non-objectifying compassion, the great compassion that which understand the reality that sentient beings are like of inherent existence, so that you are like a Genesis, and you are like a Manjushri who have a great wisdom. Wisdom. So here that master of stainless wisdom, also you can understand that the first one, great compassion, non-objectifying compassion, so that is that compassion that is supported by wisdom realizing emptiness. Compassion that is supported by, conjoined with or supported by wisdom realizing emptiness. And the second one is this Manjushri, the master of stainless wisdom. So also that the wisdom also is conjoined by compassion, so that they support each other. So the realization of great compassion helps the realization of wisdom, and the realization of emptiness that we support supports the great compassion. Losan Thakpa is Tsongkhapa, who is the crown jewel of the sage of the land of snow, which is Tibet, and Losan Thakpa is his ordination name. At your feet I make requests, so that Lama Randhawa, that prays to Lama Tsongkhapa, he composed that.
Mm-hmm. 都比道长，都比道长，都比道长，都比道长，是的，每个怕道长，每个怕道长嘛，去龙门村里去见面的。
So here that the non-objectifying compassion, so is that a mind that which is real, non-objectifying means that does not exist truly, non-truly existent compassion or phenomena. So that Lanta was expressing that Lama Tsongkhapa, you have compassion like Avalokiteshvara. So when he says non-truly existent, non-truly existent, non-objectifying compassion or non-truly existent compassion means a mind that which realizes the things do not exist truly, and then that mind arises in the form of compassion. So the thing, all phenomena does not exist from its own side, from its own side, or does not exist truly. The reason is because they are merely leveled by mind, merely imputed by mind. So non-objectifying, similar as a non-truly existence, so everything, so whatever exists, so that they do not exist truly or their own, from their own side, because the reason is all the things are merely leveled by mind, merely leveled by mind. So whatever that they exist, so that all things are just merely imputed by mind.
Since you don't want to not to see me, yeah. Since you don't want to not to see me, yeah. Since you don't want to not to see me, yeah. Since you don't want to not to see me, yeah. Tongbo tenba,
So the meaning of the lack of inherent existence is because the reason is because of everything, because of being dependently arising, so that everything come into being. So by depending on either causes and conditions, or by depending on the whole thing, depending on their parts. So there are different levels of dependent origination, so dependent arising. So one is cause and effect, and another is that the whole thing come into being depends on their parts. So so therefore that everything is just and then dependent arising, the level of merely imputed by mind, merely imputed by mind, or just a name. For example, that the basis of imputation of something is to impute the name. So then one needs to have a base, or the basis. So like for instance, like the basis of a person, or the I, is the five aggregate. So upon the five aggregate, so then the person is labeled or given a name. So by depending on those five aggregates, which are basis of imputation of the person or the I, so then this is how that I or the person exists. And that shows that person or the I does not exist from its own side, or does not exist inherently. So because it depends on those five, any of the five aggregates, so therefore the person does not exist inherently, or does not exist from its own side. So therefore there is not nor any phenomena that is not dependent on something else. So everything is dependent on arising. So therefore, that nothing exists from its own side, nothing exists truly, and nothing exists inherently. So these are synonymous. So that the when you talk about the non-objectifying compassion or objectless compassion, so it doesn't mean that there is no object. Some translation they translate objectless compassion, but that doesn't mean there is no object. There is an object. So here it is, when it says object compassion, so that object of one realizes that object of compassion is does not exist inherently because of being dependently arising. So that helps one to develop this great compassion. So because great compassion also is dependently arising, so that it depends on causes. So the causes are like by observing at sentient beings who are experiencing suffering, so that by observing as miserable sentient beings, which through that one have empathy, so that and one realize that sentient beings, samsaric sentient beings, are miserable and experiencing suffering, and then by meditating on that, so then that give arises compassion, or the great compassion, you know, to remove their suffering. So that great compassion also is dependent on arising, it depends on the causes. So that Avalokiteshvara, so that when he was a bodhisattva, so that when he developed this great compassion and bodhicitta, so that he developed there are many names of bodhicitta, which is known as shepherd-like bodhicitta. Shepherd, yeah? You know shepherd?
Yeah.
Shepherds. So someone who looks after kettles. Yeah, kettles. So shepherds. So the example is that first the shepherd, so that make sure that all those kettles have fine grass and everything. So then after that he will have a rest. So similar, so that Avalokiteshvara developed this great compassion and bodhicitta, shepherd-like bodhicitta, which means that he have this great compassion. So initially he wants to lead all sentient beings into the state of Buddhahood, and later on that he wants to achieve Buddha at last, you know. So that is that type of great compassion is quite unbelievable. So therefore the prayer here that Lama Tsongkhapa also possesses or develop unbelievable compassion, great compassions, like Avalokiteshvara, Chenisik. And the second line is Manjushri, Master of Standard Wisdom. So since Lama Tsongkhapa is a manifestation of Manjushri, so that Lama Tsongkhapa develop or have this stainless wisdom, which means wisdom that directly realizes emptiness or the reality of things, so Lama Tsongkhapa possesses. And then that wisdom also, wisdom that realizes emptiness, is supported by the great compassion, and also the great compassion that is supported by the wisdom realizing emptiness. So in the engaging in the middle way, so that the different type of compassion, so that the one is compassion merely observing sentient beings without differentiating the feature of the sentient beings. And then there's a compassion that observing at impermanent sentient beings, so by realizing sentient beings are impermanence, and then one develop compassion. So that is called compassion that is observing and realizing the impermanent sentient beings. So because sentient beings depends on causes and conditions, so without any control, so that it constantly change or transgress moment by moment, second by second, which is a subtle level of impermanence. And then through realizing that sentient beings are impermanent, impermanence and changing moment by moment and experience suffering, so then one develop compassion, great compassion. And also that one can think about like gross levels of impermanence by realizing this. Initially, in order to realize the subtle level of impermanence, sentient beings are qualified with subtle levels of impermanence. So initially, we have to understand the sentient beings are qualified with a gross level of impermanence, such as we all know that the time of death is uncertain and death is certain. So that when we think that death is certain, so that all samsaric beings, all samsaric sentient beings, so sooner or later, so that has to die, so that we see that those suffering of death, like those people who have passed away, and also that also we ourselves are going to die. And sooner or later, so that as long as one is born in this samsara or cycle existence, so that is bound to die. So then when we also meditate on this impermanence, gross level of impermanence of sentient beings, also it causes us to develop compassion, or great compassion for them. and thinking that because of all sentient beings, samsaric beings, are impermanence, so then sooner or later, so one has to face the suffering of death. And then when we meditate or think this way, that helps us to develop compassion for them. And then the third level of compassion, which is non-objectifying compassion, has a two. So one is by realizing sentient beings, impermanent sentient beings, then one develops compassion. And the third is that non-objectifying is that by realizing that the sentient beings do not exist truly, so then develop compassion. So that type of compassion is also called non-objectifying compassion or objective compassion. So there's two. One is by realizing sentient beings are impermanent, and the second is by realizing that they do not exist truly. So, for example, although sentient beings given an analogy, so that reflection of moon in the well, so that you can see that reflection of moon in the well, and then when the water moves, so that those reflection of moon move, and then one realize that it's not a real moon in the well or in the water. So in similar manner, so that when one observes sentient beings, so although they appear to us as a truly existence, but in reality they do not exist truly. So then by realizing that, and then by realizing or understanding their suffering, so then you develop wish to free them from the suffering. So that is a non-objectifying or objectless compassion. Compassion. Loss.
Can you repeat that, my wife?
Allow.
Can you repeat?
Is it the nadas?
Do you all motion the nadas?
What?
Loss.
Nas. dhōngbō ngā shī dhāla shēng shī, dhāgīn dhī shī ngū la chōy, sō yu chēng dhā rōng mē pāy, rō yīng jī chā kōng tēng dhī, tā sō shūng yu chōng kō kōwa nōng jī, kōwa la kō dhī dhī tēng bā shēng dhī, tēng tēng dhī yīng jī dhī shēng dhī, pē mē shī bā, dhā yīng jī yā bū rē gā rā bā, tēng rō wā la yīng jī,
Tandis, she, Ruana, Tandis, she, 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 T
So Chandrakirti said in the engaging in the Bodhisattva, engaging in the middle way, so that where he prays to compassion or someone who has developed great compassion. So he said that initially so that we sentient beings cling to this I, and then because of the grasping at the one's own self or the I, that give arise mine, so that my parents, my father, my mother, my possessions. And then out of that, we develop attachments to our one side's friends and relatives and parents and possessions. Then the sentient beings are without any choice or without any controls, like wandering cycle existence, like given analogy, like a baguette that is thrown in the wheel, you know, it has no control, so that someone who pulls with ropes, you know, the baguette goes down, hitting here and there, and it comes up, so without any control. So that is how sentient beings, you know, wander in cycle existence without any choice or control or freedoms, So out of this self-grasping ignorance, so then he pay press to compassion. And then he says, the migrator beings, sentient beings, that like transcending from one samsaric place to other samsaric place, it's like the reflection of moon inside the water wheel or ocean, whatever. That by seeing that there's no inherently existing moon in the water, so that when we look at the reflections of moon in the oceans, when the waves, oceans of wave moves, and also that the reflection of moon that moves, so then one come to understand that it's not real moon, so it's not real moon. So although it appears as a real, the reflection of moon in the water or the oceans, but it does not exist from its own side. So here what I'm saying is that your compassion to sentient beings, so here when it says non-objectifying compassion or objectless compassion means compassion that which is conjoined with the mind or the wisdom that realizes emptiness. So then the second line, which reads Manjushri, Master of Stainless Wisdom. So here when we talk about stainless wisdom is like a Buddha's wisdom, which has no any stains of conceptual thoughts. So forget about like a wrong conception, but the Buddha's omniscient wisdom do not have even a conceptual thought. So everything is spontaneous and direct. So, and the Manjushri, so that with embodiments of that stainless wisdom or Buddha's wisdom, you can say, so therefore Lama Tsongkhapa, so that possess this stainless wisdom, so that you are like a master of stainless wisdom, like a Manjushri, and crown jewel of the sage of the land of Snow Tsongkhapa, so that is the top among all the scholars in Tibet, land of snow, or in Tibet, all the practitioner, the scholar. So Tsongkhapa is Tsongkhapa is the place where Lama Tsongkhapa was born. So that a person from Tsongkhapa is saying like Tsongkhapa, meaning a person from Tsongkhapa, you know, Tsongkhapa, yeah, Pa is it go for the person. Tibetan, yeah, Pa means a person. Tsongkha is a Tsongkha de Sajaming Ro, yeah, Tsongkha Ba. Tsongkha de Ro. Tsongkha de Ro. Yeah, so Tsongkha. Not seeing this.
Don't go to Masaji. Yeah, tell it. Nipa. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it.
Tanda di sumba di rawa, tanda tiwa chimba di rawa, tanda sumba di. Tiwa la So then Lamutsongkhapa's is praised in three different ways. The first is that praising that you are similar like our Lokdushara, you are similar like Manjushiri, and you are similar like Bajapani. And the second that heading, so that praise that you are the embodiments of compassion, you are embodiment of the wisdom, and you are embodiments of the power, the second. And the third is according to great vehicle system or the Mahayana Sutric system, so that that which says that Lamutsongkhapa, you are inseparable from our Lord Vishwara, and second is Lamutsongkhapa, you are inseparable from Manjushiri, and Lamutsongkhapa, you are inseparable from Bajapani, so that he's the embodiments of three in one, so three in one entity of these three Buddhas, we can say. So that here it says you don't have to, like, when you pray, so that when you meditate, you don't have to think like in the aspect of deities, but rather because it's a Mahayana Sutric system, so that you don't need to, like, think about like a tantric, like where one visualizes deities, no need. So that you just, and the third one is that you are the embodiments of all these three, Vajrapani, Manjushiri, and Avalokiteshvara. So the first one, that when one prays Lamutsongkhapa, so that is similar, so that to Avalokiteshvara and the Manjushiri, so that that one is the four-line prayer of request to Lamutsongkhapa, so there's no five. But the second, so that when one reads, you are the embodiments of Manjushiri, Avalokiteshvara, Manjushiri, and Bajapani, So then there's five-line presses, five-line press Lama Tsongkhapa. So which you add Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire horse of Mara. And the third also that which has you press that Lama Tsongkhapa, so that you are the entity or embodiments of all these three Buddhas, or inseparable from these three Buddhas, Avalokiteshvara, Manjushri, and Vajrapani. So then while you are reciting the Mixema prayers, so that it will be very good, so if one can do this visualization that nectar light enter into your body and purify all the negativities and obscuration. So that five-line requests or prayers to prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa, so that the third one, which is Vajrapani, destroyer of entire horse of Mara. So that Vajrapani has a ability to overcome or destroy all the horse of Maras. So therefore also Lama Tsongkhapa possess this power to destroy all the horse of Maras. So while you're reciting the Mixema, so there are many visualizations, so that when you recite this first, for example, Avalokiteshvara, the great treasure of non-avoiding compassion, Manjushri, master of standard wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Mara, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of sage of the land of snow, to Losan Thakva at your feet. I may request so that initially that you can visualize thing that Manjushri is, although it's embodiments of those three things, so that was you can think inseparable from Avalokiteshvara, and white nectar light flowing and entering your body and purify all negative sicknesses. And second time, so that you can think that when you're reciting Lama Tsongkhapa is inseparable from Manjushri, and then orange the karma ra orange nectar light. Enter into your body and purify all the negativities and obscurations. And then you can do that when you're reciting that thing that Lama Tsongkhapa is inseparable from Vajrapani, so then that you can meditate blue nectar light and enter into your body and purify all the negativities.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, we stop here for today.
So the dedication prayers.
More than that.
So we do the dedication prayers.